down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the sun's up. That's a pen.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that. He hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX. Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton. Look in my eyes, what do you
see? This is the only live, local, and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits ESPN 97.5. One last time in the 6 o'clock hour before we move till 8 o'clock, starting 8 to 10 p.m., beginning on Monday. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the John Billison line, on the text line, on the X tweeter, at Pete Creighton 1, Big Johnny B.
Big Bad John.
Making his second appearance on Late Hits this week, at Third Coast Johnny on the X tweeter. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app, tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975 and take us with you everywhere you go, because, well, you know you want to. You know, it seems like there might be some beef between Chaz McCormick and Dusty Baker, even though Chaz never says that there's beef. And well, Dusty today responded to an article written by Chandler Rome yesterday regarding Chaz and playing time. Well, he made the following, look, I don't have to rehash everything that Chandler wrote yesterday, because we talked about that yesterday. So here is what Dusty had to say today. I'm going to read you the quote, because quite honestly, in the words of my great producer, Big Johnny B, the audio sucked. So I'm going to read it to you. This is what Dusty Baker had to say regarding this allegation, this narrative, that there is some hostilities between he and one Chaz McCormick. Dusty said, "As far as me not liking Chaz, I don't understand where that's coming from at all. It's caused kind of a bleep storm," because we can't say that word on the radio because the FCC and reasons. "It's caused kind of a bleep storm out there, which is unnecessary, totally unnecessary. Seems like if somebody has something against me, they ought to use it against me and not use my players against me. That is so wrong. As far as Chaz not playing, you can ask Chaz. I told him before he got hurt, Chaz, you can have this job if you want it. I'm not going to give it to you, but if you want this job, you can take it. Then he got hurt. He was out 20 days. 20 days. Imagine how many more at-bats he'd have then. Well, if we figure they probably played, 18 games in those 20 days, and maybe he'd have started 15 days in those 20 days, and roughly 3 at-bats per game. He'd have had 45 more at-bats, just so you know. Okay, now, how many more at-bats would he have had in those 20 days? It's a lot of playing. I pride myself on putting guys in a situation where they will most likely succeed, offensively, defensively. He's played 42 out of 50 games. That's one off day a week. Every 7 days. That's a lot of playing. As far as his weight is concerned, if I had something against his weight, and you can ask him, I wouldn't bring him banana pudding once a week. I stop by This Is It and get him banana pudding. If I was concerned about a guy's weight, I would not bring a guy banana pudding. Or maybe I helped contribute to that. I take care of my guys, and I appreciate if people would stop trying to help me manage, because I think I know what I'm doing. I take care of my players the same way they take care of me." There's a lot to digest in that paragraph from Dusty Baker, and let's start with this. If he told Chaz, you can have this job if you want it, you can take it, did he renege on that? Because Chaz has hit the crap out of the ball. In fact, since he came off the IL, he's got an OPS of damn near 900. And an average like 292. Is that not enough? Because if you're a center fielder with a 292 average and a 370-something on base and a 900 OPS, you're a damn all-star. Rest in peace, Smash Mouth. Well, what are we talking about here? So, something about that doesn't quite equate. He mentions, well, you know, he played 42 out of 50 games. The Astros have played 50 games since the All-Star break, and Chaz has started 42 of them. Let's peel the onion back on that just a little bit. See, surface level, like, well, what the hell are y'all bitching about? I mean, he plays pretty much every day. I mean, I don't understand what everybody's complaining about is about Chaz's playing time. Well, see, here's the thing. Yordan Alvarez was on the IL. Michael Brantley was on the IL. Both of those guys were on the IL together all the way through June 26th. Well, that would be the very first 11 games out of the break. No Yordan, no Brantley. Chaz kind of had a play, didn't he? Because they just didn't have any of the bodies. And Yordan came back on the 26th of July, but then he was unavailable on the 1st, and he was unavailable on the 22nd, and he was unavailable on the 23rd. So he had to play then too because, you know, bodies. Here is where the argument starts to come back into play. Michael Brantley was activated on August 29th. They've played 8 games. Chaz started 4. That's why it's an argument. Because Chaz has been a top, 4 hitter on this team? Maybe a top 3 hitter on this team? He actually has a higher OPS than Kyle Tucker. And I'm not trying to say, hey, Chaz is better than Kyle Tucker. What I'm trying to say is, to date, he has hit slightly better than Kyle Tucker. And if this was a meritocracy and you were earning your position, how the hell have you not earned the position if you're hitting better than Kyle Tucker? The issue when Chaz first got back, right? Oh, well, you know, not playing every day. He was kind of forced into playing every day because Yordan went on the IL. Brantley was unable to come back because he had a setback and then he had a setback. But now that Michael Brantley is back in the lineup and on the active roster, well, that takes away some left field and DH at-bats that maybe could have gone to somebody else and left Chaz alone in center field. So 42 out of 50 is not necessarily fully representative because the Astros were not a complete lineup at that point, and Chaz had to play because they didn't have any more bodies. How many times do we see Yordan DHing, Chaz in left, and either Myers or Dubon in center? They needed bodies. They couldn't sit them. They had to play guys. Guys were hurt. Every time Altuve is out of the lineup, well, Dubon can't play the outfield because he's got to play second base. So the idea of, well, he's played 42 out of 50 games, he's getting plenty of playing time. No, he got playing time because the Astros had no damn choice. They had to play him. And then when Uncle Mike came back and now there's a choice, he played 50% of the games. That shouldn't be lost on anybody. That's not a hiccup or a oopsie or a, well, you know, we had to deal with X, Y, and Z. No, you didn't. You just sat his ass. All the guy does is hit. And he showed you last season, he's a top flight center fielder. Part of the article that Chandler wrote yesterday, the defensive metrics say, Chaz McCormick, Julio Rodriguez, pretty much the same dude defensively. Well, if you can just go pencil Julio in, and Chaz is hitting better and he's just as good defensively, why they ain't pencil him in? I'm not saying that 100% Dusty's got this huge friggin' axe to grind against Chaz McCormick. And it could very well be that it really has nothing to do with Chaz and have everything to do with the former GM trying to force Chaz into the lineup by trading away Dusty's preferred center fielder, Miles Straw, who, by the way, couldn't hit a beach ball with a broomstick. Maybe, just maybe, that's a part of it. You remember when Miles Straw got traded? And said, like, oh yeah, Chaz is going to be the new center fielder. Instead, we had Kyle Tucker playing center field. Kyle Tucker is a terrific right fielder. He is not a good center fielder. And there is no defensive metric in this universe that says otherwise. He's a corner outfielder. And a damn good one. But, you know, Dusty was, hey, I'm not playing Chaz. I'm going to play Kyle Tucker because you traded the guy I wanted to Miles Straw. Fine. Double rods, baby. Don't you tell me how to manage. See, when you're a guy who, hey, I know what I'm doing. Oh, he's got a hell of a resume. He's got a Hall of Fame resume. But at some point, the game moves on from all of us. The game moved on from Tom Landry. The game moved on from Chuck Knoll. You know, the game may have even moved on from Johnny, why am I drawing a blank here? Joe Madden. The game might have moved on from Joe Madden. He's one of the best managers ever. The last like 30 years. He's one of the best managers of the last 30, 40 years, Joe Madden. Game might have moved on from him. Has the game moved on from Buck Showalter? Because it sure looks like it has. Maybe the game is moving on from Dusty. Maybe we're going to find out. Maybe this team is so damn good, they can overcome that type of stuff. Maybe this team has so much talent and has so much mental toughness from, you know, turning the ALCS into the Astros Invitational for the last 6 years. This team has the talent and the willpower to overcome, well, damn near anything. They're the defending champions. They've been to back-to-back World Series. They've been to three of the last four. This is a really damn good team. And like I said, in my opinion, they should probably be up 7-8 games. They should be 7-8 games better than they are if Dusty made better decisions. They're still in first place. They did have a rash of injuries, particularly to the starting rotation, and their two best hitters have missed a tremendous amount of time. Dusty deserves credit for keeping the team together, right? He deserves credit that while they were beat to hell, despite the fact that he had, you know, Mauricio Dubon has put together a career year. And for a while, Corey Jolks was hitting the ball well for a while. Right? They found ways. They had guys who, you know, weren't necessarily, you know, real major league players who have either performed like major league players or at least did for a period of time when they needed them. He's managed to hold them together. Does he deserve credit for that? That's why, you know, one of the things I'm working on is Project Dusty. It comes from a conversation I had with somebody that I have a lot of respect for, who thought that I was being way too hard on Dusty when I said, hey, you know what? Win or lose, this has to be his last year. There's entirely too much friction between Dusty and the front office for the second year in a row with an entirely separate general manager from Click to Dana, and he's still got beef in the front office. Maybe it's time. He thought I was being harsh. So one of the projects that I am working on, and it's going to be a labor-intensive process. I mean, this is going to take me probably to the end of the month to complete. How many times did Dusty's decision cost the Astros a win? How many times did Dusty's decision, when maybe we said, what the hell are you doing, did it work out? I'm going to work on that. And with all that, I still feel pretty good. It's going to wind up being a negative this year, whereas last year Dusty was a positive. I think this year Dusty's been a negative. And I still think he was a hell of a player. He's had a great managerial career, and he's a Hall of Famer. But that doesn't change the fact I think Dusty's had a tough year. Maybe too tough for the expectations of this franchise. Before we hit the break, gotta tell you about our friends at BetUS. You know what? BetUS has become my favorite sports book. And I was on the website today putting in some bets for this weekend for the NFL. And I noticed some of the lines on BetUS were actually better than the aggregate lines. Some lines where a game might have been 6.5 points. It was only 6. That half a point makes a big difference. There were some lines that I saw today that were a little bit better at BetUS than they were on the aggregate lines. You ought to be checking out BetUS.com. It's the only sports book I endorse, the only online casino I endorse. It's their 30th year of sports betting, and for their 30th anniversary, they're offering some tremendous, tremendous offers, like this one. Up to 30 risk-free bets. 30 risk-free bets. It's called Bet Protect. They also have the industry's biggest sign-up bonus. 125% sign-up bonus. Nobody's beating it. And if you sign up with crypto, it's even bigger. It's 200%. That's a monster. You sign up with, say, $100 worth of crypto, you wind up with $300. That's big. That's huge. That's a ton of money to go out there and place bets and win more money. And you know what? You can keep that excitement going all game long because BetUS.com offers live in-game betting. So don't wait. Take advantage of the 30th anniversary offer. Get Bet Protect with up to 30 risk-free bets and get started today. BetUS.com or call them 1-800-MY-BETUS. 1-800-MY-BETUS. Learn about all the bonuses, all the special offers. 1-800-MY-BETUS. BetUS.com. Sportsbook and casino where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
The spice extends life. The spice expands consciousness.
Yeah, man, I'm a huge Lamar Jackson fan, man. Remember the first time watching him, I think I was in like middle school, and that video came out where he was running on the sideline. He like stepped back and he went to the end zone. He like just put his hands up. I was like, man, who is this dude? Like, he's nice. But something that has always like intrigued me about him, I think he's a very, very underrated passer. I think he's very, very accurate, especially down the field. And of course, his running ability speaks for himself, but I think he's very smart. I think he's very smart than what people give him credit for. You see it on tape. I mean, he had a hell of a rookie year. I've watched his rookie season games a couple times, and the way that he can operate and run the ball, of course, but at the same time just be very, very deliberate and accurate in his throwing. is very, very cool to me. So I've been a big fan of his, and I'm excited to line up against him. And
Late Night Houston Sports Talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
That was C.J. Stroud talking about Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. And I will agree with C.J. Stroud. I think Lamar is an extremely underrated player. A lot of people think he is a run-first quarterback, and he's actually proven to be a pretty accurate passer and a very smart playmaker, and a guy who has gotten a lot done without a whole lot at the wide receiver position. And usually with, what, his top four running backs hurt? I think the Ravens offense, this iteration has the most skill players that Lamar has ever worked with. And for those wondering, Odell Beckham Jr., a full participant at practice today. Mark Andrews is listed as questionable. He's fighting through a quad. He was a limited participant all week long. Usually, if you get in a limited practice the entire week, you're going to play. And if you have followed Mark Andrews' career, the dude's questionable like every week. So I am not considering that he is going to be missing this game in any way, shape, or form. I fully expect that Mark Andrews is going to play. I have concerns about the Texans being able to, A, open holes for Dameon Pierce, and B, to protect C.J. Stroud. You're down three starters on the offensive line. There is no league, and hell, there's no universe, where being down three starters on your offensive line is no big deal. It's a very big deal. If they can't create a running game to help offset the pressure on C.J. Stroud, it might get ugly. Because the Ravens know they can just pin their ears back and come after the quarterback because the Texans can't run. That's not going to be a good sign. They've got to be able to give CJ enough time to at least get through two progressions. And you know, one of the things that we saw from CJ, his mobility in the Georgia game, they might need to see more of that from him this week. Because of the fact the offensive line is so banged up, this might need to be a CJ, read one, read two, take off. If the first two aren't there, take it down and run like hell. The Ravens front seven, they're not bad, but they're not the super dominant front seven that we equate with the Ravens historically. They're not a monster badass defense. They're good, but they're not great. And this is, you know, from their beat writers. They don't think their front seven is more than just good. Their beat writers think that their secondary is suspect. And because Lamar did not play the preseason at all, they're not entirely sure what the offense is going to look like, although I would expect healthy Lamar, healthy J.K. Dobbins, OBJ, Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman. I would expect that unless their offensive line suddenly turns into five parked cars, they are going to look pretty darn good. And look, that's Lamar is not a guy that you can pass rush in a traditional manner. You kind of got to mush the pocket forward as opposed to just send somebody off the edge, because Lamar can duck that guy and take off. So you need to have pressure that more or less contains him. They've got to push the pocket forward so he can't step up and then slip out. Conversely, they need Nico Collins to be this, you know, a guy who looks like he can be a top two wide receiver. Collins and Stroud have had a good rapport. Collins, even last year, showed flashes of being a guy who can make some big-time catches. He also showed he can stay on the damn field. Nico needs to be healthy. And he needs to make those plays. Hopefully, the way the Texans' offense will likely unveil, I mean, you're expecting they're not going to be the super vanilla that they were in the preseason. They're actually going to, you know, unleash some of the offense. But you think about the kind of offense the Texans are going to run. They're running a Kyle Shanahan offense. And Kyle Shanahan's offense made Jimmy Garoppolo look like a really damn good quarterback. Kyle Shanahan's offense made Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, a starting quarterback that people actually believe in. There's going to be a lot of quick passes, a lot of short passes. Passes that are going to, the idea is to let the quarterback get some completions and let your skill players make plays. If they can get the ball out in and out of CJ's hands quick, get it into their skill position players, let those guys make plays, and they make plays because, you know, that also has to happen. There's no Deebo Samuels on the Houston Texans. There's no Brandon Ayuk's. There's no Christian McCaffrey's. You know, can they get the ball out in space to Damian Pierce? Because you know what? If you're a cornerback out in space, one-on-one with Damian Pierce, you might be making some business decisions. You know, how involved can you get Dalton Schultz? Is Robert Woods, can he be the guy he used to be when he actually had a quarterback? Or, you know, I mean, look, last year, Woods had a lousy season. How much of that is because Malik Willis couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from 10 feet? You know, Jake Asbett arm. And how much of it, well, I don't say arm, but accuracy. And how much of it is Robert Woods getting older? If his struggles last year were because the Titans had a quarterback who could not throw the football, Robert Woods might wind up being a nice surprise. I think they got to get Tank Dell involved. I think Tank is going to be, as the year goes on, I think Tank's going to be a big part of this team. And the more they get him involved, the better off that they're going to be. All right, let me, before we hit the break, tell you about our friends at Home Run Dugout in Katy. Look, it's already the coolest place to go. You go to Home Run Dugout, they got great food, great drinks, indoor, outdoor seating, TVs everywhere. They have an outdoor wiffle ball field with a giant scoreboard. You can play kickball, you can play wiffle ball. And then indoor, they got the batting bays. It's kind of like Top Golf, but for baseball. Any skill level, any age level, anybody can play, and you can go smash homers at any ballpark in Major League Baseball. The ball pops up out of the floor, and you blast it into the screen and play home run derby. It's pretty awesome. Not only that, but tomorrow night, they're going to be showing UFC 293. UFC 293 at Home Run Dugout, no cover, and full sound. I promise you, I don't know where you might be watching UFC, because I can tell you all the places that I've had to watch UFC, because it's hard to find a place that shows UFC. And it's really hard to find a place that's not putting a cover on it. No cover, I promise you. 100% Home Run Dugout is going to be the absolute nicest and coolest place with the best food and best drinks and best atmosphere of any place that you can even think of going to watch UFC. It is going to be your new favorite place to be. So tomorrow night, you want to watch UFC 293, get to Home Run Dugout in Katy, homerundugout.com.
ESPN 97.5.com on the Chase Long.
I've got a Chase Long in my dressing room and a pack of warm beer that we can consume.
Mm-hmm. Late Night Houston Sports Talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, let's get to our NFL picks for week one of the NFL season. We'll start in Hotland of the Panthers and the Falcons. And Bryce Young making his first professional regular season NFL start, and he'll do it without DJ Chark and with potentially a somewhat limited Adam Thielen if Adam Thielen can go. Not liking the fact that their top receiver is not going to play. Atlanta's at home. I know, look, I'm not a huge Des Ridder fan, but I got to believe Desmond Ridder is more prepared for this game than Bryce Young is. Certainly has better weapons. He's got the best receiver on the field is going to be on Atlanta. The best tight end on the field is going to be in Atlanta. And the best running back on the field, he was drafted earlier this year, his name is Bijan Robinson. He is going to be on the field for Atlanta. I am liking the Falcons in this game, laying the 3.5. I don't trust that Bryce Young is going to have enough weapons in order to compete. First start often can be difficult when you lose your number one guy and your number two guy might be half speed, especially since Adam Thielen's already slowing down. Maybe that's not the best scenario for the Panthers to get a win on the road. So we'll take the Falcons. And we will take the points. Bengals and the Browns. The Bengals are 2-point favorites in this game. Joe Burrow has been hobbled, but he also just got holy cow paid. Feel like Joe Burrow is pretty happy. Also, I am not a believer in Deshaun Watson until he shows me 3 straight games that I should be a believer in Deshaun Watson. I think the Bengals have the better quarterback. They've got the better receivers. They've got the better head coach. Browns have a solid defense. Browns have one of the best running backs in all of football. I don't think it's enough. I'm going to take the Bengals and lay the 2. Jaguars and Indy taking on the Colts. Look, the Colts signed a guy to a big extension today. Their long snapper. They made him the highest paid long snapper in the history of the NFL. Meanwhile, no Jonathan Taylor. That organization doesn't know what the hell it's doing right now. And ultimately, Anthony Richardson is going to pay the price. I also don't think the Colts are going to have a whole lot of success slowing down the Jaguars' offense, which should be better this year, as Calvin Ridley is now a part of it. So I think the Jags, who are laying 5, I think the Jags are going to win by double digits. I would be surprised if they didn't win by double digits. Jags and the 5. Vikings at home against the Bucks. Vikes are laying 5. Look, it's Kirk Cousins, it's Alexander Mattison, it's Justin Jefferson against a team quarterbacked by Baker Mayfield on the road. I probably don't have to discuss this a whole lot because Baker Mayfield on the road. Vikings have the better quarterback. They have the better head coach. And Justin Jefferson is the best receiver in football. Take the Vikings. We'll lay the points. The Tennessee Titans go down to New Orleans to take on the Saints in the Dome. Saints are laying 3 in this game. Now, how do we feel about Derek Carr and the Saints? I don't know that I trust the Saints' offense. I don't know how much I'm ready to say Mike Thomas is going to be an impact player again. He's been hurt for so long. The Titans still have Derrick Henry. even though they thought they were going to trade him. They didn't. Ryan Tannehill is healthy for now. And they have DeAndre Hopkins. I'm taking the Titans on the road with the 3 points. 49ers in Pittsburgh taking on the Steelers. The Niners are only 2-point favorites in this game. Now, Kenny Pickett was, like, perfect in the preseason. I don't think he threw an incomplete pass. Well, now the game matters, and you've got to face the San Francisco 49ers defense. I don't think Brock Purdy is necessarily all that. But again, doesn't have to be all that in that system. All he's got to do, get the ball to C-Mac, get the ball to Debo, get the ball to Ayuk, get the ball to George Kittle. There are so many weapons on that team. Brock Purdy just has to be a game manager. I know that's an evil word for quarterbacks. Game manager. And they will win because they are a much more balanced team. Niners minus 2. Commanders at home against the Cardinals. I'm not even going to discuss this game. Take the commies and the points. The Cardinals have made it very clear they are tanking. The Texans and the Ravens. Now, I had this game at 9.5. The line is now up to 10. The models that I've seen have shown this to be a 27-17 type game. I would really like to be wrong on this game, because if I'm wrong on this game, then the Texans played better. The Texans were competitive. Despite the fact their offensive line is in shambles, they fought. I want to see them fight. I can't trust them with two starters on the offensive line. No Jimmy Ward, one of their defensive captains. No Blake Cashman, their best cover linebacker. I can't trust the Texans on the road in Baltimore against a Lamar Jackson who should probably be highly motivated considering what he had to do to get paid this offseason. I will take the Ravens. I had them laying 9.5. The current line is 10. Still taking them. Bears are 1.5-point favorites at home over the Packers. Packers have some injury issues. Their top wide receiver is not going to play. Christian Watson. Romeo Doubs has been hobbled. I'm going to take the Bears. The Packers have long had trouble with mobile quarterbacks. I'm going to take the Bears and the points. Well, laying 1.5 at Soldier Field. I'll take the Broncos laying 3.5 at home over the Raiders because Jimmy G not usually a fast starter. And if Russ ain't right under Sean Payton, he ain't going to be there real long. Russ has a lot to prove. And I think it starts in a big rivalry game. Eagles are 4-point favorites in Foxborough against the Patriots. I don't think the Patriots can slow the Eagles down. I know the Patriots' defense is good. I don't think they're that good. I also don't think the Patriots' offense is worth a lick, and it's probably going to cost them. I'll take the Eagles laying 4. I got the Dolphins getting 3 at SoFi against the Chargers. Come on, it's the Chargers. Nobody finds a way to blow games in the fourth quarter better than the Los Angeles Chargers. These guys are the kings of choke. There is no way in hell I am taking them and laying points. No freaking way in hell. I think this game, there could be a ton of offense in this game. But I trust the Dolphins to find a way to win more than the Chargers to ever do anything right. I got the Seahawks laying 5 at home against the Rams. No Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp may wind up going on IR. He is their offense. Not sure what Matt Stafford will be, but without Kupp, the weapons just aren't there. Cowboys are laying 3.5 in the Swamps of Jersey against the Giants. I think that half is the magic number. If this game was 3, I might have gone Cowboys. 3.5, taking the home dog in prime time. Danny Dimes is going to keep it at least within 3 and hopefully beat that slime 4 hours north of here, because we always root for the Cowboys to lose. Monday night,
the Bills, and the Jets in the swamps of Jersey. That's going to be a fast turnaround on that field going from blue to green. Aaron Rodgers against Josh Allen. I think the Jets have a better defense. And as good as Josh Allen is, do we trust them more over Aaron Rodgers? I think Josh Allen's got a lot of talent. I'm not sure all the personalities and egos have all been settled in Buffalo yet. The Jets are a football team that is 100% going the same direction. I am taking the J-E-S-T. Jest. To dump the Bills on Monday night. One more segment to go for... time to watch some Astros baseball, and we'll take a look at the Astros and the Friar Sucks coming up next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
You know what old Jack Burton always says at a time like this?
Who?
Jack Burton. Me.
Late Night Houston Sports Talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, one more segment to go on a shortened edition of Late Hits. And let me tell you about my favorite sportsbook and casino, BetUS.com. Time to get those football bets in. You know, it's the only sportsbook casino that I'm endorsing, BetUS.com, in their 30th year of sports betting service, now offering Bet Protect, up to 30 risk-free bets. Nobody else in the business offers up to 30 risk-free bets. You win, you get paid. You lose, you keep your money. Nobody else does that. They are the best sign up in the industry. 125% bonus when you sign up. 200% bonus if you sign up with crypto. And of course, live in-game betting. You can keep the action going all game long. Get Bet Protect. Get started today. BetUS.com. Call them 1-800-MY-BETUS. 1-800-MY-BETUS. Learn about every bonus, every special offer. 1-800-MY-BETUS. BetUS.com. Sportsbook and casino, where the game begins. Astros and the Friar Sucks about to get underway in 20 minutes from the Juice Box. Game is on Apple TV, which is really annoying for the entire world. Astros lineup, Altuve at second, Peña at short, Jordan in left, guess the knees are feeling better, Alex Bregman at third, Tuck in right, Abreu at first, Jazz McCormick in center field, Yiner at DH, and Martin Maldonado behind the plate. Why Martin Maldonado behind the plate? Well, Dusty said he's been trying to keep Hunter with Yiner after, he didn't say this, but I'm assuming he meant after Hunter and Maldi did not work out so well for a stretch. But he said, I was trying to keep Yiner with Hunter, but they haven't had much success getting deep into games. I got Maldi in there today to help straighten him out. If anyone can straighten him out, it's Maldi. Of course, the guy who leads the world in pass balls is the only guy who can figure out what the hell's wrong with Hunter Brown. And he couldn't do it in between starts, and he couldn't do it in any of the previous starts, and he couldn't do it when he was catching him for 2.5 months. But damn it, he's going to fix him now. Got it. Roger that. Understood. Keep shoveling that fake narrative of how important Martin Maldonado is, because, well, you know, he's a team leader, and we gotta stay with our team leader. Could be a team leader from the bench. Rusty Staub was a team leader for the young Mets. He didn't even get 100 at-bats. 84, 85. Rusty didn't even get 100 at-bats as a team leader. John Franco was a team captain. He was a reliever. What do you make? 60 appearances out of 162 games? He was captain. You don't have to play every day to be the captain. Unless, of course, you know,
Dusty's your manager, and Martin Maldonado's the catcher. Against Blake Snell, hot and cold, Jose Altuve for his career, 381 against Blake Snell and four homers. Alex Bregman, 350 against Blake Snell with two homers. Martin Maldonado, 0-for-8 against Blake Snell with three punchouts. So, better get Hunter Brown right. And look, I want to see if, look, Blake Snell is a legit candidate for NL Cy Young this year. He's 12-9, he's got a 250 ERA. He's got 201 strikeouts in 155 innings. You are facing a legit top pitcher. And he's a lefty. So, you know, Maldi's got to play against the lefty even though he's 0-for-8 against this guy. Maybe he's due. You know, Maldi's been hitting the ball with a little more authority of late, right? Last couple of weeks, Maldi's had some hits. Maldi's had some big hits. Can he carry it over? Can the Astros carry over the wild thumping that they put on the junk grabbers? Can they put something together? And look, I don't expect them to hit six home runs tonight against Blake Snell, but can you put some crooked numbers up? Can you not have one run after eight innings? Can you give Hunter Brown a chance that, oh, if he gives up, you know, a two-run homer, oh, that's it, we're losing because we're not going to score two runs. You know, the Astros are almost famous for this. First, they can't score. Then they can't stop scoring. Then they can't score. Like, there's like no happy medium. Can we get a solid outing from the offense where they put up, say, five runs tonight, maybe even six runs tonight, get into that Padres, that Friar Sucks bullpen? Not the Friar Tucks, the Friar Sucks. And they get into the Friar Sucks bullpen. Because one thing about Blake Snell, he's not going to go deep. Blake Snell is a guy, generally, they have five innings, six to max. If you know, he's a high strikeout guy, so he gets, you know, racks the pitch count up. You get him out of there after five innings, you get into that, you know, get into that bullpen. And if it comes down to a battle of bullpens, well, the Astros bullpen is better. Looking to see Hunter Brown, you know, have a little bounce back, pitch a little better. He does have 157 strikeouts in 137 innings. So, you know, he's averaging, you know, more than a strikeout inning. But coming off a game where, look, he was not very good against the Yankees, the South Bronx Slumlords. Five hits, four walks, five runs, three earned. I understand two of those runs came because of an error. But still, four walks is way too damn many in four innings. Why are you only going four innings? They need more from Hunter Brown. And look, there's only 3.5 weeks of the season left. So if you're going to show that you're a guy who deserves to be number four when it comes time for that playoff rotation, you better start getting your act together right now. And of course, if he does, it's not because Hunter Brown found himself. It's not because Hunter Brown made any corrections. It's because of Martin Maldonado and the genius that is Dusty Baker for putting Maldi behind the dish to get Hunter Brown straightened out. And don't you dare forget it. All right, before we end the program, got to tell you about my man, Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. 4 years ago, I met Dr. Ben, and I had sinus issues that were just unbelievable. I had a sinus infection every other month like clockwork, and I was living on antibiotics, and it sucked. I snored horribly because my airways were all blocked up. Went to see Dr. Ben literally out of desperation because I just accepted the fact my sinus issues were never going to change. He wanted to get a look inside my head. The only doctor that I'd seen, more than a half dozen doctors in two different states, the only doctor who wanted to find out the root of the problem. Turned out I had staph infection in my sinuses. It needed to be surgically removed. Antibiotics weren't going to cut it. Everything is done by Dr. Ben. They removed the staph infection. They did a balloon sinuplasty to get rid of all the dead, damaged tissues that were blocking up my airways so that I couldn't breathe. Turned out I had a deviated septum. They fixed that too. 4 years later, no sinus infections, no sinus headaches, And I sleep great. I don't snore anymore either. So if you deal with snoring, sleep apnea, sinus issues, you don't have to live like that. You need to call Dr. Ben Salento, 346-413-9313, 346-413-9313, or go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com, TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Let him do for you what he's done for me, what he's done for dozens of late hitters, what he's done for thousands of Houstonians around the city. Let him help you break the cycle and breathe. Tell him I sent you by. Gonna do it for us for tonight. Appreciate my man Big Johnny B on the other side of the glass, our texters, tweeters, and twitchers. And hopefully we get a nice game out of the a nice series out of the Astros tonight. Little beatdown on the Friar sucks. Let's go. H-Town!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Insert random audio clip now.
What's the recommended amount of dedicated wham I should have to serve?